When we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we receive the righteousness of God. To walk in step with the Spirit, the Bible says, those who walk in step with the Spirit are the sons of God. So what is walking in step with the Spirit?
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on June 22nd, 2022, and is titled, Wet or Dry. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve in the message.
Being in obedience to the Spirit. How do you know how to do that? You have to renew your mind with the Word of God, that you would take on the mind of Christ. So when your feet are following the voices in your head or in your heart or wherever your voices come from, you'll be able to discern the voice of God, that you may obey the one true God, Jesus Christ, and follow Him. But the foreshadowing of the Old Testament shows the character of God in relationship to how people act, react, obey, disobey. He's an unchanging God, so this is who He is and who He's always been. So however He was with Israel is how He is with His church. It's all about God and His people. We're His people that live in His created earth. This is about living. This is not about dying. This is about living. And so in Jeremiah chapter 2, I found this quite interesting. Verse 4 says, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. I love it. All the families. It's all about your house. What injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me? This is the Lord speaking. Have followed idols and have become idolaters. Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed, and there where no one dwelt. Now let me put this in modern terms for you. God, we're having a hard time figuring out where you're at. It's pretty dry around here. He said, nobody's calling on me. Nobody's calling on me. I've prayed for this community to call on the Lord as a community ever since I got here. And you know what I'm doing now? I'm waiting until we squeeze all the juice out of the lemon. When we finally all get so dadgum dry we can't lick our lips, then one of these days somebody's going to say, we need to call on the Lord. And when we call on the Lord, they're going to finally say, hey, where's that guy that's been prophesying around here for 30 years? I'd like to know what we're doing wrong. Here's what you're doing wrong. You became idolaters. You became idolaters. Here in a minute, you're going to hear the word abominations. If you'll go read Ezekiel 8, this is why it's so important to follow every teaching we do out of here. I've never said that before because I'm not a self-promoter. This is not about self. You should follow everything that comes out of this place because I'm telling you, God is bringing good information to this place and we're paying attention and we're doing it. And those of you that got the pockets for it and those of you that got the mustard on your hot dog for it, you're going to be just fine. But you should tune in, because when I taught out of Ezekiel 8, Ezekiel 9, and Ezekiel 10, if they'd have been listening, every denomination, every church, every group of people on the planet would have stopped what they were doing and would have repented today. Because the abominations of idolatry in worship are key. Abominations cause drought. Abominations cause the blight. Abominations cause separation from God. Abominations of your idols. So 100, 200 years ago when we began to teach a false Sabbath. See, I'm really bold now because I've floated this boat 10,000 times and I can't find anybody that wants to get up on deck. This book will not back up what you've been doing, what we grew up in. Buildings built by human hands. Don't tell me you won't smoke in the building, but you'll smoke in your pickup. Same way with playing your guitar. Don't make a mockery out of water baptism. It's obedience to God, and that comes through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Submission to the Lord, dying to self, not church membership, not a pathway to heaven, raised up as a new creation. That's what that all represents. The tomb of Jesus. I ain't Jesus and I ain't Moses. I'm a guy that God called, said, hey, would you do this? I said, yeah. 9,000 times I told him I didn't like doing it. And guess what? He don't care. Did you know Jesus doesn't care about my feelings? I don't feel like it, God. Suck it up, sunshine. Nobody cares. This is important. The idols of our worship. Do we have a heart for fellowship and Christian entertainment? Or do we have the pockets to learn something? I know now why God never called me to start another what we deem church. We didn't need another one. We needed somebody that could teach for 20 hours straight in case we found somebody that was willing to listen. Yeah, I had this same conversation with a couple guys. There, one for sure. I think the building's done and the guitar's done. I think one man under the anointing of God holding this book can do a lot of damage. And I know some more that are stepping out there hearing the voice of God and they're going to do it. People come. This is necessary. He said, brought you through the land of drought and through the land no one crossed, no one dwelt. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and you made my heritage an abomination. Let that sink in just a tick. There's just a few times that word abomination is used by God. Do you know what that means? It's disgusting. God says it's disgusting. I wonder if anybody ever got curious if what we do while we're playing church is disgusting to God. Boy, that's a bold statement, but I'm going to make a lot of them tonight, so I've got my bulletproof vest on. I'm ready. Would we even consider it? Or would we rather just pretend and keep living in the drought? Good question. Leviticus 18 has abominations. One said that a man should not sleep with another man as though it was a woman. And the next verse says that a man shouldn't sleep with an animal. The next verse said, nor should a woman present herself to an animal. Those are disgusting to God. They're disgusting. When's the last time you heard a guy with a microphone say that unnatural behavior is disgusting to God? Show me elsewhere. So, the priest didn't say, where's the Lord? And those who handle the law, they don't know me. Could you get any more true in America today? So what I want to ask Beto, you want to handle the law. Do you know God? And he's not that dipstick you saw in the mirror this morning while you was brushing your teeth. The rulers also transgressed against me. Every rule, every law, every lifestyle in America is progressively moving further away from God. The ideologies of our schools, our high academia, our entertainment institution, moving us farther away from God. Yet we sit in church to be entertained in the name of Jesus, enjoying the fellowship of each other while we numb down and passively allow a spiritual drought to overtake us. He says, the prophets prophesied, but it was by Baal. You better be ready to test the spirits. I'll step into that one just a tick tonight, too. That's a little more than you thought it was. Because we've had a lot of prophecy in the last few years. Do you realize in the midst of all the fear and the pandemic and all the scare tactics and all the stuff, that any time a man showed up and said, I can tell you how it's going to play out, we would lick our lips and lean into it like a dog on a fresh dead chicken. Tell me what I want to hear. And we listened to them for 30 months, and 909,000 of them got it wrong. Whoops. Sorry. That's why I prophesy out of the book of Ezekiel, Malachi, Isaiah, real prophets that made it into the book, infallible prophets that made it into the book. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, against your children's children, I will bring charges. See, everything that's going on here in America today is not all our fault, because there's a whole group that went before us. And there was another group that went before them. It's a generational progression. You just got to decide what day at my house is everything going to change. For pass beyond the coast of Cyprus and see, send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? Did we start preaching a Jesus that really doesn't exist? These are good questions. Well, I think God is the... Nobody cares what you think. He is who he is. And see if there's been such a thing. As a nation to which are not God, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. How many of y'all know there's a lot of profit in Christianity? Really? I could like change clothes after the cow sale. Get a little better joke line. Get old Leonard up here on the base and find me two slick guys to go with him. Them lights turned down just right. I could tell you something you wanted to hear every day. Every week, come in here, I'll tell you something you want to hear. Oh, and by the way, I'll tell you how blessed you'll be if you'll give to this ministry. How many times have you heard that in the last 20 years? How blessed you'll be if you'll give to this ministry. How many? None. What have you heard here? How blessed you'll be if you obey God. And I'm not talking about your pocket. If God has your heart and your mind, he's already got your billfold. I don't have to monkey around your billfold. So during the pandemic, it was easy to see who's who. They get you to shut down for a few weeks, some of them for a few years. And the first thing you hear is everybody whining how they're going to pay the light bill. How are we going to get the money? How are we going to get the money? We ain't got no people. How are we going to get the money? We got to get the money. How are we going to do the money? How are you going to be blessed if you can't give me money? Holy moly. That junk drives me nuts. Because it's not for profit. It might profit somebody. There's plenty of them out there that's got big profits by fixing the story. But what's profitable, what's truly profitable, is for every man, woman, and child to come to a supernatural realization of King Jesus, who he is, where he is, how he is, right now, that you can come home and you can bring the most profitable thing given to man is the Word of God. The inherent Word of God, and take that Word of God home and begin to infiltrate your family with the Word of God, that you begin to clean your house, reestablish your home, and set up the children's children and children's children after that. All of the glory of God. That's profitable. Entertaining church services are not profitable. Manipulation ministry is not profitable. But the word that will establish your family in the kingdom of God is profitable. When's the last time you heard that? It's been a while. He says, "Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." If it holds no water, it's arid. It's dry. What's he said? You stepped away from the living water of my kingdom and you've tried to do it on your own. You created something that you thought would contain the living water. You created something you thought was going to feed your thirst. You created something you thought was going to sustain you. And I'm here to tell you today that that's an abomination, thus says the Lord. Turn back to the living water. Is this still hitting home with anybody? Because this stuff's been wearing me out for days now. Look what happens here. First of all, let me talk about a couple things, and I don't know if I'll turn there. I may turn there. I'm going to turn to 1 John chapter 5. I don't want to misquote anything. Here's where we can get into some theological differences, because there's a lot of different ideas about Scripture, but those of us that are duly endowed with the Holy Spirit, you know when you hit the sweet spot. You know when you're there. But he says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, talking about Jesus, and this has got to do with water. This is he who came by water and the blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and the blood. And it's the Spirit who bears witness. Now, why would I bring that up? Because in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, and Nicodemus questions him, and Jesus said that you must be born of water and the Spirit. What is in a woman's womb? Is it not called amniotic fluid? Is that right? Is that the right word? Amniotic fluid? Huh? Yeah, the baby floats around the water. Why would that be so important? Because there's a lot of theologians out there that preach water baptism to salvation. Okay, I'm not going down that road today, but I welcome all comers. Let's go down that road anytime anybody wants to. It's a quite scenic journey. Water baptism for salvation. So then they'll teach that the water in here represents baptism and the blood of Jesus, of his sacrifice and forgiveness of sins. But when you combine the two, and then you look over here also in 4:13, I think it is, 1 John. Let me see what that says. No, that's not right. I wrote that down wrong. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. This is good enough. Oh, no, back over in 4, just 4, verse 1. But we'll do this right here. Here's what I'm establishing right now between this scripture and John chapter 3. If, and I believe I'm correct in this, that the water represents in these two pieces of scripture the birth of a human. To be born as a human is born. The Son of God himself, who hovered over the expanse of the earth in the beginning, in order to become the perfect sacrifice, to be both God and man, there had to be an immaculate conception. So the Holy Spirit overwhelms a child named Mary, and she becomes impregnated by the Holy Spirit, but it's still the natural process of God's nature. The laws of God's nature are the laws of nature's God. They don't deviate. Read Romans 1. It's very clear on all this. He came. So Jesus was in the water. He came in the flesh. All flesh has to be cleansed of sin. Therefore, the blood of Jesus was poured out for the forgiveness of sin for all mankind, past, present, and future. But in order to access the blood as one who also came through the water, I must submit to the lordship of Jesus. I must submit ownership of my life to the lordship of Jesus by faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, because I know that he lives. I don't guess at it. I don't pretend at it. I know that he lives. I therefore become born again, and the Spirit of God overwhelms me just as the water that I swim in the Spirit of God, in a sense, overwhelmed by the presence of God. There is where we get the covenant of righteousness. You see, we still operate in the covenant of condemnation in our false humility, the worship of our idols. But righteousness is what will save your family. Righteousness is what keeps us in contact with God. Do we get it all perfect all the time? No. Have I ever been perfect for a whole day? Probably not. Am I on a journey to perfection? Yes. Because I'm renewing my mind daily, and someday my feet will follow and my mouth will shut up. There's always hope. Someday, I'm on a journey. And to establish that and establish that atmosphere. And so, establishing those two things before we go any further. Why would I want to establish those two things before I go any further? Because the process of creation came first. And we've stepped away from that. And in the recreation of our God, in the recreation in the thinking of God, we have created an arid atmosphere. Now watch what happens in an arid atmosphere. Luke 11. Everybody still with me? Does anybody want to interject anything or ask a question as we go forward here? Please feel free. And look, anytime you think I need a rebuttal, please. And I promise to be nice, and if I'm wrong, I promise to apologize and fix it. Luke 11. Unclean spirit returns. Verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Wet or Dry. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. Or on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.